Good afternoon, everyone. In the headlines on the update this Tuesday, we're truly now getting the first real taste of winter. Parts of the Northeast were prepared for that coastal storm that's expected to dump up to a foot or more of snow, and blizzard conditions with 60-mile-per-hour winds in some spots. The nation's largest school system in the city of New York said that they were switching classes to remote learning and closing the buildings for the day. We'll have the latest details. In the Bronx, authorities say that one person was killed and five others wounded following a dispute between two groups of teenagers at the Mount Eden station at the start of the evening rush hour. Igor Shesterkin proved he was the goal stopper. He stopped 30 shots for his first shutout of the year, and the Rangers beat the Flames for their fifth straight win. In Washington, the former president is asking the Supreme Court to extend the delay in his election interference trial and ultimately find him immune from prosecution on the charges that he plotted to overturn his 2020 election loss. And did you lose control of your sex drive during the pandemic? Sexual function, of course, defined by factors like desire, arousal, and pleasure in men and especially women decreased significantly during COVID, according to the research and the experts. Thankfully, there are ways to get back in the groove, and coping with stress, which dramatically spiked during the pandemic, is ultimately key. This is the update. Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024. Celebrating 6 years of telling New York's stories. From the Tommy Lynn stage at the Urban Dove Charter School in Brooklyn, New York, broadcasting across the nation and around the world. This is the update with Brandon Julian. A three-time winner of the Kingsborough Community College Gold Student Service Award. It's everything that you need to know because anything can happen in New York. Greetings and salutations to you all, folks, every last one of you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the update on a Tuesday. A Tuesday that, that definitely feels like winter, or looks like winter out there. Apparently, it's supposed to be the first real winter storm that we've had in quite some time. About 5 to 9 inches here in the city, up to a foot or more, north and west of town. And this isn't like the light, fluffy stuff that we've been doing. It's supposed to be like the real heavy, the real packed, heavy snow that winter is accustomed to. And also because it's snowing, I get to make the same jokes that I make when it's snowing. Because literally, before I did this show, I came in from the north. That's right, Bakersfield. Well, do you want to keep going? Hold on, guys, I'm almost done. You see, all my jokes tonight, will have to do with snow, you see, because there's snow good. Those dogs ate my intern, ate Chuck, by the way, he was my intern. Alright, be that way, that's fine with me. Let's just get into the headlines of today and rather quickly. Does the carp, we just steam that? Oh, God. I'm Brandon Julian. Of course, folks, you know, we appreciate you so much for being here, wherever you may be, and however, of course, personally, that you may be listening to us. Lots of news, of course, to catch you up on. We're going to begin this Tuesday's proceedings with the weather. As is the habit across this country, of course, folks, there's nothing like it, of course, to disrupt life in general. And winter is really giving us the first major taste, as parts of the Northeast were preparing for that coastal storm that was expecting to dump up to a foot or more and pack 60-mile-per-hour winds in some places, essentially creating blizzard conditions. Hazardous driving conditions, school closings, and flight cancellations were predicted when the storm hit, along with possible power outages. Here in New York City, of course, the nation's largest school system, made the call to switch to remote learning and close the buildings for the day at around 10 o'clock yesterday morning. Up in Boston, the schools are going to be closed there, and non-essential Massachusetts state employees were told not to go to their workplaces. Some of the highest snowfall totals, about a foot to a foot and a half, were forecast for the suburbs of this town and also southwestern Connecticut. Of course, be here tomorrow for the fallout of said storm. Now, folks, on to some of the other news of this Tuesday. And up in the Bronx, it's just been the latest case of gun violence across this town. Authorities say that one person was killed, five others wounded, following a dispute between two groups of teens at the Mount Eden subway station on the 4 line in the Bronx at the start of the evening rush hour. The gunfire broke out at around 4:30 yesterday afternoon, a time when stations throughout the city, of course, are filled with kids coming home from school, and many workers are beginning their evening commute. Officials say that a 34-year-old man was killed. The wounded include a 14-year-old girl and a 15-year-old boy, and three adults aged 28, 29, and 71. Authorities said some of the victims were believed to be involved in the dispute, while others were simply just waiting for the train. Up north, in the suburbs of Cheektowaga, police there say that a small plane with two people aboard landed safely by Buffalo Niagara International Airport after its rear door just fell off. Police in the suburb there say that there are no reports of injuries or property damage on the ground. The plane lost the door at around 5:30 last night as it flew over Cheektowaga, a few miles south of the airport. Police say that officers searched for the door, but they did not immediately find it. Meanwhile, to the state capitol in Albany we go now, where businesses in the state of New York will now be required to clearly post how much extra their products will cost if customers decide to pay with a credit card. That's thanks, of course, to a new state law that took effect on Sunday. The law means that stores can no longer post a sign on a door and at the register stating that credit card purchases will be subject to surcharges. Governor Hochul said in a statement that the law, quote, will ensure that individuals can trust that their purchases will not result in surprise surcharges. In other news, Bob Edwards, the news anchor that many Americans woke up to as the founding host of NPR's Morning Edition for nearly a quarter century, has died. NPR said that he had died on Saturday at the age of 76, but that they had no other details. Edwards joined NPR in 1974 and was the founding voice on Morning Edition in 1979. His authoritative baritone made many listeners feel he was older than he actually was. For 12 years, his interviews with sportscasting legend Red Barber were a regular feature, and they provided the foundation for Edwards' book, Friday with Red, A Radio Friendship. He was pulled from Morning Edition in 2004
just before celebrating a quarter century on the show, a move that led some listeners to protest. And finally, Steve Ostrow, the founder of the Continental Baths, which is a trailblazing New York City gay bathhouse where Bette Midler, Barry Manilow, and other famous artists cut their teeth, has died as well. He was 91 years old. An obituary in the Sydney Morning Herald says that the Brooklyn native died on February 4th in his adopted home of Sydney, Australia. Ostrow opened the Continental Baths in 1968 in the basement of the Asonia Hotel on the Upper West Side. He transformed the hotel's massive basement with its dilapidated pools and Turkish baths into an opulently decorated Roman-themed bathhouse. The 24/7 venue became the destination for groundbreaking music. He, of course, will be very deeply missed indeed. Time for us to step aside momentarily. When we return on the update this Tuesday, we have a few important messages to tell you from the MTA. Gonna talk some sports and talk about how the goal stopper in Igor Shesterkin came to life. The Rangers were able to shut out the Flames for their fifth straight win. We're going to talk together the latest national news. In Washington, the former president is asking now the Supreme Court of the land to extend the delay in his election interference trial and ultimately find him immune from prosecution on the charges that he plotted to overturn his 2020 election loss. And at the end of the broadcast today, many people lost control of their sex drive during the pandemic. Sexual function, of course, is defined by many factors like desire, arousal, and pleasure. And in men, and especially women, it decreased significantly during the pandemic, according to the research and also the experts. Thankfully, there are ways to get back in the groove and coping with stress, which drastically spiked during the pandemic. Is especially key. Going to talk about this and a lot more too, of course, folks, when the update of Brandon Julian returns in just a moment.
From New York, a magical place not found on any map. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
No.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
From New York, a tropical island paradise. This is the update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
Traffic. Through the first half of 2024, F trains will run on the E line at all times in both directions, between Rockefeller Center and Jackson Heights Roosevelt Avenue, because of track replacement along the 63rd Street line. On weekdays, M trains will not run between Rockefeller Center and Forest Hill 71st Avenue. Trains will run between 57th Street on the F line and Metropolitan Avenue. A special F shuttle train will run every 20 minutes between Lexington Avenue, 63rd Street, and 21st Street, Queensbridge, stopping at Roosevelt Island. The shuttle train will not run overnight. Free shuttle buses will run between 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza on days and evenings, and between Roosevelt Island, 21st Street, Queensbridge, and Queens Plaza overnight. Through early 2024, Manhattan-bound 7 trains are skipping 111th Street and 82nd Street, Jackson Heights, because of station improvements. For nearby service, use a Flushing-bound 7 train or use the Q32 or Q48 buses on days and evenings along Roosevelt Avenue. Through the summer of 2024, Manhattan-bound J and Z trains are skipping 75th Street, Eldridge Lane, and Woodhaven Boulevard because of station improvements. For nearby service, use the Q56 bus making stops along Jamaica Avenue. The New York City Police Department would like to remind you to keep your belongings in sight and to stay aware of your surroundings. If you see something suspicious in the station or on the train, tell a police officer or an MTA employee. MTA crews are here to help us get around. Let's treat them with respect. Assaulting a New York City Transit employee is a felony, punishable by up to 7 years in prison. The fare on local, limited, and select bus service is $2.90, with the exception of the BX18A, BX18B, B60, M116, Q4, Q4 Limited, S46, and S96 Limited, until March 30th. Transfers on all other lines must be requested upon payment of the cash fare. For the S79 Select Bus Service, pay your fare on board the bus. For all other Select Bus Service routes, pay at the kiosk outside and hold your ticket for the duration of your trip. The fare on express buses is $7. Coins are not accepted as a payment on express buses.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
So the New York Rangers, they've been essentially one of the best teams in the NHL all year. They had a little slump prior to the All-Star break, but now they are back on the beam, as to say. Rangers and the Calgary Flames playing at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. Igor Shesterkin was the show stopper, or the goal stopper in this case, because he stopped 30 shots for his first shutout of the year, and the Rangers beat the Flames 2-0 for their fifth straight win. Will Coyle and Jimmy Vesey scored for the Rangers, who were 6-1-1 in their last 8. Shesterkin got his 12th career shutout and second straight win to improve to 21-12-1 on the year. Jacob Markstrom finished with 29 saves as the Flames snapped a 4-game winning streak. And over across the river at the Rock in Newark, Jack Hughes had a goal and an assist for his first point since being injured last month in early January. Nico Dawes made 27 saves, and the Devils beat the Kraken 3-1, handing them their third straight loss. Tyler Toffoli and Dawson Mercer scored for Jersey. The Devils have allowed one regulation goal in their last two games since they lost 1-0 to Carolina over the weekend on Saturday. Defenseman Will Borgen scored halfway through the third to deny Dawes his first career shutout and the Devils' first of the year. Joey Decord kept the Kraken in the game, making 34 saves of his own. Now, folks, when we return on the update of this Tuesday, we're going to talk together the latest national news. In Washington, the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, is sharply criticizing that $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and other countries, casting serious doubts about the future of the package. And at the end of the broadcast today, you know, folks, if you've lost control of your sex drive during the pandemic, well, we're going to tell you from a licensed marriage and family therapist how you can get it back. Going to talk about this and a lot more, too, of course, folks. But first, ladies and gentlemen, we do have to inform you about the following. Where has the time gone? I really hope that I didn't write that line. Well, maybe I actually did. Time continues to move forward, of course, but it's always nice to look back on the past. It helps us grow as people. Plus, you know, you always have those moments where you're like, oh yeah, I remember that from way back when. Well, that's what we have for you on the update every weekend. And in our new series, where I look back at my favorite episodes from throughout the many years of this program. I've always said over the years that my producers, they love an excuse to have a party. Every weekend, we're going to go into the update vault and play you some episodes from throughout the many years of this program. And in my new special series, where I look back at my favorite episodes from throughout the many years of this show, once a month, I'll play a select episode from that list. I have a whole list of favorite episodes, and we'll play that for you. It's a big party, of course, and you and your friends are all invited. And if you don't know we're having a big party, you will after you hear this soundbite declaring that we are having a big party. So, every weekend, we'll go look out for the update vaults, play some of our episodes from throughout the many years of this show. And, of course, also once a month, look out for the list of my favorite episodes from throughout the years. Keep listening, of course, folks, because it'll be a party that you personally will never forget. Unless you can't remember that party from, you know, the night before. Now, of course, the update of Brandon Julian will be right back after these messages. And isn't this exciting, folks? Wow. Oh, don't laugh. Getting up notice, but some of you didn't. What? But that actually is pretty darn good. My producers are getting better. Last year, for a surprise, they left me a 4th of July wiener. I found it on the inside of the couch. All right, it is my duty now to send you back to the remainder of this program, so go. Go there now. Brandon Julian. You know, folks, I don't know about you, but this kind of feels like a bit of a misdemeanor. You know, I think I might have just summoned something. This is the update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Brandon Julian, you know, you hear comedians and other people say out there that marriage is an institution that later costs some people tens of millions of dollars to get themselves out of. Or you'll hear people say that marriage is an institution. Well, so is Alcatraz. And I'm thinking, you can't compare marriage to prison. And those same people would be like, well, yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, in prison, the warden doesn't max out your credit cards. This is The Update with Brandon Julian, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Rather snowy Tuesday in this urban metropolis. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, we are talking together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to go back to Washington, where the former... Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. A snowy Tuesday in this urban metropolis. You know, about a foot, depending on where you are, north and west, 5 to 9 inches here in town. It's going to get cold again after all this is said and done. Should we bring weather forecasts back into this podcast? Like, I don't know, because it'll depend on where you know, when you listen to it. Yeah, I'll probably bring that back for the new season. On the 29th. Yes, the new season on the 29th, our 7th year together. That's a lot of fun, isn't it? Anyway, folks, thank you so much for still being here with us. Let us talk together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we are going to begin, of course, in Washington, where the former president is asking the Supreme Court to extend the delay in his election interference trial and ultimately find him immune from prosecution on charges that he plotted to overturn his 2020 election loss. His lawyers filed an emergency appeal with the court yesterday, just 4 days after the justices heard Trump's separate appeal to remain on the presidential ballot. The filing keeps on hold what would be a landmark criminal trial of a former president while the nation's highest court decides what to do. The Supreme Court's decision and how quickly it acts could determine whether Trump stands trial in the case before the November election. In other news, House Speaker Mike Johnson is sharply criticizing that $95 billion aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and other countries, casting serious doubts now about the future of the package. Senate leaders trying to send a message that the U.S. remains committed to its allies were looking to overcome marathon speeches from a determined group of Republican senators and hold a vote to pass the bills in the early morning hours today. The speaker's statement criticized the package for lacking border security provisions. Conservatives have demanded for months that border security policy be included in this package. But last week, they rejected a bipartisan proposal intended to curb the number of illegal crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border. Over at the White House, President Biden welcomed Jordan's King Abdullah II for talks on how to end the months-long war in Gaza and plan for what comes after. Standing alongside the king, Biden said that, quote, the key elements of the deal are on the table, although gaps still remain. The two leaders discussed the effort to free hostages in Gaza and the growing concern over a possible Israeli military operation in the border city of Rafah. Yesterday's meeting was the first between the allies since three American troops were killed last month in a drone strike against a U.S. base in Jordan. Biden has blamed Iran-backed militias for the fatalities. And down in Houston, authorities there say that the shooter who opened fire at that Texas megachurch over the weekend had a history of mental illness and used an AR-style rifle in the attack that also critically injured their 7-year-old son. Police have identified the shooter as 36-year-old Janice Ivan Moreno. They noted yesterday that Moreno sometimes used both male and female aliases. Investigators have not yet established a motive in the shooting at celebrity pastor Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church. They're looking into a dispute involving Moreno and the family, Moreno's ex-husband. Moreno was killed by off-duty officers that were working security. Police say that Moreno's son remains in critical condition with a gunshot wound to the head. There is more national news for us to discuss, and we will address those, of course, when the update Brady Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the update, Brandon Julian, on a Tuesday, everyone. Rather snowy Tuesday in this urban metropolis. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, we are talking together right now, of course, the latest national news. And we're going to go back to Washington, where the former president has claimed that he once told a NATO ally that he would, quote, encourage Russia to do whatever the hell they want to delinquent members of the group, send shockwaves through Europe over the weekend. But in Washington, the response from Republicans was underwhelming. The response from Trump's critics turned defenders on Capitol Hill demonstrates the strength of the former president's grip on his party and its foreign policy as he moves closer to clinching the Republican presidential nomination. Those who once would have responded with alarm at such remarks have largely fallen in line with Trump's priorities or have chosen to retire, as it has become clear his influence has not waned. In other news, the president has launched a task force aimed at addressing the systemic problem of mishandling classified information during presidential transitions. Yesterday's action comes days, of course, after a Justice Department special counsel's sharply critical report said that he had done just that. The Presidential Records Transition Task Force will study past transitions to determine the best practices for safeguarding classified information from an outgoing administration. It will also assess the need for changes to existing policies to prevent the removal of sensitive information that by law should be kept with the National Archives and Records Administration. Special Counsel Robert Herz's report listed dozens of sensitive documents found at Biden's home in Delaware and at his former Washington office. Of course, we all know the Super Bowl was on Sunday, and for the second year in a row, it looks like, there was a religious Super Bowl ad campaign that promised viewers that Jesus, quote, gets us. Two commercials from Sunday night centered Jesus' message, I should say, to love your neighbors, even across ideological divides. In one, people of different races, classes, and gender expressions have their feet washed, including a woman outside of a family planning clinic. Critics, though, have noted the campaign's welcoming and progressive messages seem at odds with some of the campaign's Christian funders, who have also supported anti-LGBTQ+ and anti-abortion issues. Causes, actually. The He Gets Us campaign is now under a new charitable organization, Come Near. It plans to advertise during the Paris Olympics, the NFL draft, and the Republican and Democratic conventions. And finally, we're going to go out west to the American West in Las Vegas, where, a couple days removed from the Super Bowl halftime show, Usher and longtime partner Jen Goicoechea got married just hours, like I just said, after the Super Bowl halftime show. That's according to officials and documents that were obtained yesterday. Usher and Goicoechea have been together since 2019 and have two daughters together. He's been married twice before. It's Goicoechea's first. Usher recently ended a two-year Las Vegas Strip residency, released a solo album, and will begin a tour of this country in August. The chapel where the two wed is known for a minister who often dresses as Elvis Presley. Yes, the romance is definitely in the air. And when there's romance, it often leads to sex and desire. But did you lose your control of your sex drive during the pandemic? A sexual function in men, and especially women, decreased significantly during COVID, according to research and also the experts. But thankfully, there are ways to get back in the groove, and coping with stress, which drastically spiked during COVID, is key. We'll tell you about it because your honorable mention is next when the update of Brady Julian returns in just 60 seconds.
Pass it on. Here's my bucket list for the day. Read an article on a news subject. Say only nice things about others. And listen to everyone's opinions. Because making things better requires change. Now, these changes aren't going to show up on your news feed, but they're things I can do. So change something today. It's not going to change the entire world, but it's going to change your world. Change is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com. Notice lately how empty everything is? Empty streets, empty stores, empty schools. But I'm trying to change these empty times by being full of gratitude. Gratitude means saying thanks to the garbage collector, the medical providers, and all those who are helping every day. Things may appear empty around us, but when we're filled with gratitude, nothing is completely empty inside us. Gratitude is in you. From PassItOn.com.
Brandon Julian. Honestly, people, I would do anything for my wife, Tommy, but I know I'm not the best romantic person out there. There are more people that are more romantic than I am. Did you know, folks, that a long, long time ago, Prince Edward abdicated his right to the English throne to the woman he loved? Isn't that unbelievable? He had to choose between the woman he loved,
or being King of England. And that idiot chose the girl. Now, I'm sure, folks, that it was the right moment at that exact moment in time, and I'm happily in a relationship with my wife. But even in the best of moments, each person in a relationship has had a time where they thought, I've made an enormous mistake. But you know what, folks? I bet you never thought I could have been King of England. This is The Update with Brandon Julian. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Welcome back to The Update with Brandon Julian on a Tuesday, everyone. Thank you so much, of course, folks, for still being here with us. You know, folks, there's just enough time left today, of course, for your honorable mention. Look, we all know that COVID was a really rough time on all of us. The quarantines, the lockdowns, it was rough. And many people lost control of their sex drive during the pandemic. Well, according to at least one expert, we're going to tell you how you can get it back. Sexual function, according to research and the experts, it's defined by factors like desire, arousal, and pleasure. Sexual function in men, and especially women, decreased significantly, of course, during COVID. Vanessa Marin, a licensed marriage and family therapist, recently told CNN, quote, I've been hearing about this since the first couple months of the pandemic, and it's definitely a trend that has continued. But thankfully, there are ways to get back in the groove, and coping with stress, which drastically, of course, spiked during the pandemic, is key. Marin, who is also the co-author of Sex Talks, the five conversations that will transform your love life, said, quote, for the vast majority of people, if you're under a lot of stress, your body shuts down any pathway to arousal and desire. De-stressing can often reopen these pathways. And while everyone has different stressors and the quick fixes to handle them, some psychological exercises can help to reduce stress in the long term. Psychologist Elisa Epple told the New York Post, people actually wrote this article, said, quote, there are short, small practices that we can do every day. We don't need to do all of them, just what fits our lifestyle. We can tune up our nervous system. We can't control events, but we can change our stress response. And here are the three steps, simple steps, that she advises. Number one, brace uncertainty. Apple explains that, quote, when we realize that the uncertainty of the future is an invisible factor often stressing us out, we can actually get some relief from this. We can become more comfortable with the feeling of uncertainty without knowing the future. We don't need to be constantly vigilant when preparing for events that never happen. Which is something that my wife constantly tells me all the time. Because, you know, whenever she plans something, like, because she's sneaky and deceptive like that. But whenever she does that, she's like, Brandon, just let it happen. You don't need to ask all of these questions. I keep telling her, you know, my job as a journalist is to ask questions. I've slowly been trying to break out of that habit as time has gone on, but it's a work in progress. Number two, put down the weight of what you can control. Where do you want to put your energy and what can you let go of? One of the best things we can do is check in with our mind and body and notice we are holding on to so much stress that we can put down any extra baggage that we are carrying. And number three, practice deep restoration. Leverage stress-busting techniques like deep breathing and experiencing nature. Apple notes that nature has a big effect on reducing our anxiety. But we don't usually think of using it that way.
And, you know, once the stress has been reduced, it's time to spark that sexual flame. Which they are right about this. And I don't know, from my prior experiences, there are many ways you can get into, the mood. You can, you know, you can Netflix and chill, or you can surprise her with something that maybe will fit the mood. You know, like you could go to Victoria's Secret and buy your partner something. I've mentioned before in this show, I have been to Victoria's Secret. You know, I had a reason. You know, as a guy personally, you need a reason to be inside of Victoria's Secret or a store like Spencer's, you know. You can't just walk in there and just be like, I'm looking around and trying to see what all the ladies are buying. But yes, once the stress has been reduced, it's time to spark that sexual flame. Doctors say that plunging into cold water can help raise the libido, which is the psychological drive for sexual desire. Dr. Robert Glatter, an assistant professor of emergency medicine at Lenox Hill Hospital, previously explained to the Post, quote, preliminary research has suggested that cold water immersion can increase the release of luteinizing hormone produced in the pituitary gland in your brain. Release of this hormone may also increase testosterone production in men and trigger ovulation and progesterone production in women, potentially leading to increased libido. And of course, you don't need me to tell you this, but orgasm, emotional connection, and chemistry have been found to contribute to, quote, great sex. And there are even studies that have shown that a vegan diet can dramatically boost a woman's libido, while some realize that going dry helped them get wet. You know, my brother told me a long time ago that the New York Post, see, they don't really use it anymore for journalism purposes. But whoever writes these articles or comes up with those brilliant bylines on the front post, on the front page of the Post, they definitely need a raise. That is some definite good stuff. I'm going to let you guys ponder on all this. As we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that's the way it is. Tuesday, February the 13th, 2024. That is the update on this Tuesday. I'm Brandy Julian. We appreciate you being here with us. You know, I forget exactly when the episode for this month is, but if it, you know, it's not, if it's passed already, I'll start telling you about when our next one is for March, which is a little bit down the road from now. So until the next time we get together, in the words, of course, of Roger Grimsby and Bill Utell, hopefully that your news, folks, will be good news. I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck, be safe, and most importantly, please be well. The snow will end. The sun will come back out tomorrow, but it definitely is not going to feel very warm. You know, as Mr. G always says, it's going to be a huddle cuddle type of day and night because it's not going to feel very warm. Let's talk about that a lot more, too. Of course, folks, when I see you right back here tomorrow for Valentine's Day of 2024. See you then.